Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now it's Wednesday Night Rugby. Brian O'Driscoll with us. Hello.
Joe, how are you?
Very well. Last time I saw you, you were singing to Johnny Logan.
Yeah. How did you think I did?
Very well. Surprisingly well. In advance,
I didn't have high hopes.
Surprisingly well. Okay, good.
I'm glad I overachieved, so.
You pulled it off. Well, you were carried on the shoulders of your other half.
But I was only happy to be best supporting actor in said video.
There was a moment where you either, in my opinion, lost your place or just had a sudden moment of doubt about the whole enterprise, and you looked at Amy as if to say, I'm not sure where I am right now.
I wasn't sure that we were, I thought we'd done with that take, and then okay. It just kept on going, and I had a scratchy neck, so I itched it, and that was actually used in the end footage. Maybe it's because there was a laugh involved as well, but yeah, it was, I definitely did need some lubrication beforehand, I won't lie to you, because when she said it to me like weeks beforehand, I kind of kept kicking it off, going, yeah, I don't think so, no, not so much. And she just kept coming back. I was like, I'm almost sure I've answered this about five times that I'm not going to do it. There's like three performers and me. I said, this is so far out of my comfort zone that I do not want to do it. And yeah. Then she was like, it's for comic relief and for a good cause. And so it's incredible what three quarters of a bottle of rosé will do to you.
Hey, look, it was for charity. Good man. Fair play to you. I wouldn't have. Most of us wouldn't have. So. We are edging towards some kind of normality. Pro 14 fixtures out, locked in stone as so much as anything can be locked in stone at the moment. So Saturday, 22nd of August, Leinster will play Munster at the Aviva. And on Sunday, Connacht will play Ulster. And then the schedule for next year's Lions has been confirmed. It's going to happen. It's going to be played. Starts 3rd of July with the Stormers, culminates with the third test in Johannesburg, 7th of August. So basically this exact week in a year, mm-hmm. The first test match will be coming on Saturday. 8 matches as opposed to 10. So just all of that news as we inch towards some kind of fixture list again is good. Not least Pro 14 on the horizon.
Yeah, all of it's obviously very positive. I think it's a brave move by the Lions, considering where we are and the uncertainty week by week as to what the world's going to look like, let alone in a year's time. I think the positivity around the Pro 14 re-emerging in a little under a month is hugely positive. I think you contrast what's been going on with the UK. I see, there was good news where the testing was reduced down to 2 positive tests within the test taken within the teams involved in Premiership Rugby. So when you consider that, my understanding is there's been 0 from an Irish point of view. So we're doing everything the right way. I just hope that this potential second flood of coronavirus doesn't come our way and we're able to get back to watching some of our own live sport rather than just watching it across the pond with football predominantly.
Yeah, here's hoping. Numbers are just starting to inch up that little bit and there is concern, but we'll see.
Wear your masks. Yes, wear your masks.
I know. Struggling not to get angry in a shop when you're one of the few wearing a mask. It's like, what are we doing here, people? Just put on the mask.
I've actually, do you know what as well? It's, I've got a couple of masks, but left one in the car. But a few times that I've left the car and gone to get into the shops or, even if you left it a distance away, I've just felt too guilty to not wear one and gone back and gone. And it's a pain in the backside sometimes, but it's a small price to pay. So yeah, hopefully, the more people, we want the exceptions to the rule to be those not wearing them. Anyway, there's my little play on it.
I know, we get off our high horse now. But look, if Donald Trump at this stage is conceding masks work, then
he looked great in a mask. Looks
the
great.
Rest of us have to.
No one's ever looked as beautiful as that in a mask.
So the Lions, I want to pick your brain on this. 2009, there were 10 matches. There will be 8 matches next year. 2 fewer prep games, I suppose. Does that make any great difference? Does every 80 minutes contribute to the 3 tests ultimately of prep?
Well, I think what it does do is it means it's much more difficult to break into Warren Gatland's test team on the on the back of your performances on tour. I think with 8 games, so there's one in between the 3 tests. Am I right? Mm. So there you go. So 4 games in advance of the test match. So Warren is going to have a very clear understanding as to what his test team looks like before they leave these shores. And it'll just mean that only, you know, they'll probably in his head will only be maybe 3 or 4 positions up for grabs. And then obviously the uncertainties around injuries will come into effect. But other than that, it's frustrating that you won't have outliers coming into the, you know, going and traveling, maybe would have been one of the last 1 or 2 to be selected within the squad. And then all of a sudden forging their way into the test team. I think you're going to see less and less of that because you just won't have the time to be able to impress the coaching ticket.
Was training a real area where players played themselves onto the team, or was it generally matches? Can you think of any player who impressed so much in training that they forced themselves onto the starting 15?
I think it is more so games, but I think you, I think if you really show, because you have to remember too, the standard of training at the Lions is like nothing that any players will have experienced before, other than on a previous Lions tour. It's exceptional. Everyone is. I used to be nervous going training with the Lions because you knew you had to bring your A game every day. You know, you didn't want to be having a niggle or carrying something going into it because you knew you could be absolutely pulled apart. Mm. So, you know, players like Jason Robinson, to get to see in close quarters what he was capable of, because, you know, you see so much on a Saturday, but when you're training and playing and watching players, you know, of that caliber for the 5 days leading up to a Saturday, you see some really exceptional stuff that cameras don't always catch. So Jason Robinson, because I knew so little of him in 2001 other than his rugby league and seeing his talent, but to have a full appreciation for what that footwork was like, you need to defend against it. And it was horrible at times. I defended, I don't know if I've told this story before, but Phil Larder, we did a one-on-one tackling. Phil Larder was the English defensive coach, and we did one-on-one tackling, and I got Jason Robinson in like a 5-meter channel, and he did his like up in the air and shimmy, and he went one side, and I picked it, and I smashed him, and Phil Larder was like, look at that, one of the best attacking players in the world, that's how you put him down. And I turned, you know, to those at the back of the queue, and I was like, well, it was a 50% chance of catching him. I decided I was going one way, and he unluckily just happened to jink one too many into my way, but it was a lottery defending against him. And it was a pleasure watching and stealing traits from different players. You get them in training way more than you get them in games, to understand their process of training, of how they got themselves right, of the work that went into perfecting their craft. You know, Johnny Wilkinson was the perfect example of the time that he used to put into, you know, his kicking game in particular after training was really exceptional. And it'd be hours after people, and he managed to do that over the course of his career.
With Jason Robinson, could he go either direction just as easily?
Because I would have analysed him quite a lot as I played against him. He was equally comfortable off either foot. It made no difference whatsoever. Mm. There was no preference on ball carry. You couldn't. There was no tells like in poker. There's none of that. You just could not work him out. And whether that was just natural instinct to him or whether he had honed the ability to be unpredictable as well, I'm not sure, but it was just nigh on impossible. Because as well, you know, if you got on your toes as well, he had a power game as well. He might have been a small guy, but he packed a serious punch as well. So, you know, in contact, he had to stay hit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a case of just getting hold of him. You had to work in that contact area too, because he had an ability to wriggle out of hits. You look at, you know, the success that he would have had in rugby league in doing so. You know, that those little kicks, you fend, you know, an extra few yards, and then you put that into rugby union, is no different, and all of a sudden you've escaped a tackle.
Warren Gatland on the New Zealand tour certainly made the point initially that they were only off the plane and they were straight into action, and it was relentless, and there wasn't much time to prepare. So you've been on four tours, different coaching setups, different groups of players. Is it a more simple game plan that tends to be used on a Lions tour as opposed to what you might be able to implement with the familiarity of the Irish team? Like, because, you know, Gatland had a reputation, that Welsh team had a reputation for a simplish game plan. How did that tend to work on Lions tours, game plans?
Yeah, well, I can't speak for the tour in 2017, but the ones before that, you know, it is simplicity. It is. It's because they've only got 4 weeks to prep for a test. You know, you can't throw too much information. You've also to remember that they've been full of international and club calls over the course of a year. There's lots of different thoughts are thrown into the pot. So I think you can't meet day one and go, okay, what way do you think we should play here? I think the brain's trust, and in particular the coaching ticket, will have decided early on, this is the way we need to play. And it does need to be simplified, because you don't have the simple time that is necessitated to put an intricate game plan together. You will have done a huge amount of work in advance to identify where the space and where the opportunity might be against South Africa. But it's one thing knowing that and then imparting that knowledge on your players and getting, you know, time on feet. That's the other thing as well. They won't be able to train, you know, with, you know, incredible intensity for long periods. It's the end of another longish season. It's possibly going to be, well, it's hopefully going to be longer than usual, where you'll have all of those Lions players beginning playing in August and hopefully going all the way through. So freshness will be massively important. Work in the kind of team room and the video room will be vitally important. But it's going to have to be simplicity. And to be honest, he's lucky that he's been the coach. Well, he's lucky. He's got the good fortune of being the coach in the last two tours. And he will have a huge number of those players reselected for this tour. So I would imagine it'll be a version of the game plan that we saw against New Zealand, with modifications because of the defence that's coming at them.
And across your four tours, 01 through 13, did you generally, as a team, feel pretty well prepped? Do you remember going into those first tests, or was it, you know, we're flying a little bit by the seat of our pants here?
No, obviously, you know, in the one that stands out is New Zealand in 05, because we lost to the Maoris. We'd you know, some pretty close run things as well in a couple of the games early on, but maybe we didn't quite build the confidence and the momentum that you need coming into a test series. But, you know, for the most part, I think back to 01, we felt as though we were in good shape. We got roughed up against New South Wales the week before with that incident with Ron O'Gara and Duncan McRae. They went out to kind of set down a bit of a marker and rough us up. So, you know, we were ready for test match rugby at that stage. In 09, I thought we built really well over the course of the series, but we were slow getting out of the blocks in that first test, and it really caught us against South Africa. And then in 13, we didn't play particularly well in the first test, but neither did they, and we managed to scrape by against a pretty disappointing Australian team, it has to be said. So yeah, slightly varying. I do think we're probably best prepped in 01 because of obviously the manner in which we played in that first test in the GABA, and the clarity and how individuals really, you know, were you know, played extremely well on the day. We had some standout performers. We got that incredible try from Jason Robinson. We got the power from Scott Quinnell. So I just think the balance, looking back at that team, was struck beautifully, and that it remains one of the painful ones that I look at a series that got away from us.
What about then pairing? So correct me if I'm wrong here, but one, you're going in alongside Rob Henderson, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago and is great fun. 09, it's Roberts. 05, it's Johnny Wilkinson for all of 13 minutes, I suppose, or however long it was. Maybe even less.
5 seconds.
Sorry, 45 seconds. 13 minutes, my God.
Yeah. It was quite a partnership we'd struck up in that 45 seconds.
They still talk about it.
That was one for the ages.
God, 45 seconds. Man, you forget. And then Jonathan Davies, first one in 2013. Mm. So give us the rundown there. Who did you, I mean, everyone watching is going to think, oh, you and Roberts, that was the one, you know. What did you find? Who did you feel you gelled with?
Yeah, I did really gel with Jamie Roberts for you know, two players that hadn't played together before that. I felt as though we had a very good understanding from one another early on. I think we played against the Lions together and got a couple of tries each.
Something you had to talk through or fairly instinctive?
There's a bit of that. He was a young player as well. So, you know, without sounding conceited, I think you're trying to guide and help younger players as much as I would have been guided and helped by some of the older players, you know, in the early years in 2001, you know, and you're if you're open to it, you're there to, you know, you're still playing your trade. You know, I was only a 22-year-old. I think he might have been 22 or 23 back in 2009. So he was very much the student that he has certainly, you know, appeared to be all his life, of trying to soak up as much information, you know, to understanding his role. The beauty of that is, I think he felt he knew what his strengths were, and that he carried ball, and the aggressiveness, again, the necessity to be aggressive against that South African defense as well. Just it married up our partnership really well, where, you know, he was comfortable with me going in and playing at 12 at times and him running dummy lines or running that crash ball. I think he probably developed and honed his passing game a little bit more in later years. But, you know, he was known for someone that ran a viciously hard line and picked some great angles and scored some terrific tries as a result of the cleverness of those lines. And he was happy to play that role within that test team. So I really enjoyed playing with him because we were able to understand and play off one another extremely well.
Yeah.
And with Hendo, obviously, I knew him from international rugby, playing with Ireland. And maybe you might have said that the centre pairing at the start of the tour would have been Will Greenwood plus one. No one knew who was going to partner him, and Will got injured in the New South Wales game, and as a result he missed the three test series, and I think, you know, perhaps he might have been, you know, one of the test starters. But my partnership with Hendo, I think there was real uncertainty around our defensive capabilities from Phil Larder, from having played against Ireland in a couple of games in 99 and 2001 in Twickenham, where we got absolutely bashed. So to put in a big performance in the first test match was, it was a real compliment, where he said, gosh, I was worried about you too, but I needn't have been. So a veiled compliment, everyone.
And does it happen, because I want to ask you what you think might have happened with Wilkinson, but does it happen that there are certain players you've matched up with where it just doesn't quite work? It's always forced. I mean, you might get to a level of competency, but there's something missing.
Jonathan Davis. We're both two out and out 13s. Okay. And as much as I talked about moving into 12 for certain plays, I've played a bit of 12 over my time, but I'm far more comfortable in the 13 jersey. And I'm playing, you know, out there from an attack point of view with space, and but also from a defensive point of view. And simply through the injuries of Manu Tuilagi and Jamie Roberts, you know, we were forced into being the centre pairing for the first test. That would definitely not have been a first choice selection had four centres or even three centres been selected. I think as much as maybe individually we were good players as a partnership, I just don't think it worked in the two test matches, where we just didn't read off one another, both in attack and defence well.
What about Wilkinson then? Was there potential on that one?
Yeah, again, I'm trying to think back. You know, it's 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a very different type of game with Johnny. You know, he was brought in there to have that left foot option, that what England had the success with in having Wilkinson as the left footer and Mike Catt as the right footer when they'd beaten teams up and they'd and it was time to, you know, to play the corners a little bit. I think Clive Woodward identified that the kicking game was going to be vital to any success you were going to have against New Zealand. So that's what, you know, he was predominantly in there for. his bravery is something is sometimes a negative. So, you know, you don't want your goal kicker to be a guy crashing the ball to make holes for the forwards to get around the corner, but he was willing to do that. So I think Johnny was always a better 10 because as much as he was never expected to go to Rooks, he still did because he was Johnny Wilkinson, but there's an expectation as a 12 to go to Rooks and clear outs, and you don't get the most out of someone like Johnny Wilkinson controlling things. So I don't know what that partnership would have been like. You do have the passing game from him then that you mightn't have with other centres. So that is one plus. But I don't know if that was going to necessarily be the game to go and beat New Zealand. We were going to have to try and match them physically up front and maybe just, you know, kick them to death and contest to death. I think looking back at that New Zealand team, that was the only way that we were going to get the better of them.
Yeah. With a view to next year, it's 12 years on from 2009. That was a really enjoyable tour to watch from afar. I think the South African ones really have been of late. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the players all
it's a great tour. It was my favourite tour to be involved in, even though the Test series was over after two games. You know, that second Test and the first Test, even the near comeback, that was real rugby. That was hard, tough rugby. But I just really enjoyed the whole tour itself. Maybe it was because I was a bit more relaxed. I'd been, you know, a kid on the first one, captain on the second one, so I was a senior player, but still not past my best on the third Test, and maybe it's where I felt my most comfort. You know, look back to the 2013 tour, was I past my best? Undoubtedly. So I think, you know, all the aspects of touring put into the pot, it felt like 09, including the time zone, and that's a really big aspect that people don't appreciate is playing your games at 3 or 4 in the afternoon and having time to hang out and socialize with your teammates afterwards versus, you know, Australia, New Zealand playing at 7, 8, 9 o'clock. By the time you get back to the team hotel, it's 11:30, 12, everyone's in bed. Those things are important and can't be underestimated. So I do think that is a huge helping hand on everyone enjoying the tour a little bit more, getting to hang out and spend time with one another and you know, developing that bond, because it's vitally important when the going gets tough in test matches that you want to fight for one another. And that's only built from, you know, spending good quality time, having coffees and going out to dinner and going to the cinema and chilling out together. It's such a huge component of touring and successful touring.
Well, that chimes in with what most players on the 09 tour say. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. And one of the extra aspects, I suspect, is that from our point of view, there was a distinctly Irish feel to the whole thing. I was just having a glance back. Obviously, it was the Grand Slam year and it's Leinster winning the Heineken Cup. Second Test, for instance, the entire back line, bar Jamie Roberts and Stephen Jones, is Irish. It's Carney who's in for the second Test. It's Beau, it's Luke Fitzgerald, it's yourself. There's eight Irish players in the 22 for the first and second Tests. You know, this was a great period for Irish rugby. If I fast forward to next year, for instance, everybody's, you know, people are picking teams, it's lockdown, it's that kind of a filler at the moment. I was looking at Will Greenwood's team as things stand for next year, just to get your brain going, and then I might ask you for some thoughts. Mm-hmm. So he only has two Irish players in the 15 for next year, Robbie Henshaw and James Ryan. He's gone with Hogg, he's gone with Johnny May, he's gone with Tuilagi with Henshaw, and he's gone with Liam Williams. Farrell and Tomas Williams at 10 and 9. And then in the front row, he's gone with Rory Sutherland of Scotland at 1, Jamie George at 2. He's gone for Kyle Sinclair at 3, Ryan and Atoje in the second row. And then the back row, most people I've seen actually are going for Tom Curry, Justin Tipperick and Billy Vunipola. So that from 8 Irish down to 2, if you're going looking at Will Greenwood's team. Now, the point to make here is next year and the foreign players are in will decide so much. But if you had to scribble down your bar mat 15 from this vantage point, where would you be coming in at?
A lot of my team would be similar to Will's. Shall I just go through what I've scribbled down?
Yes, please.
Make life easier. Okay. I'm going to go with Stuart Hogg at fullback instead of Liam Williams, which, you know, you're not losing a lot either way. Anthony Watson on the wing. I think Gary Ringrose needs a huge, huge year. The hard ground potentially could suit him, But I think Jonathan Davis is the man in possession. So I think that's working in his favour, even though, you know, he hasn't shown any form because he hasn't played since the World Cup. But Jonathan Davis has been a big success on the last two tours, particularly the last one. So the 13 jersey between them, but definitely in possession at the moment is Davis. Manu Tuilagi at 12. Left wing, Johnny May at the minute, the most improved. Well, I think this is probably becoming a bit cliched, the most improved rugby player in world rugby. He's been that probably for a couple of years now. I have to say, I've been incredibly impressed with him. Same halfback partnership as Will Greenwood in Farrell and Thomas Williams. You know, the number eight, if Billy Vunipola can stay fit, I think he'll be number eight. Or Toby Faletau, who's been riddled with injury as well. Gats absolutely loves Toby Faletau. So there's every chance that if he can get back to fitness, he'll be in the mix somehow. And you think about that try he scored against New Zealand, that was the difference in the second test. You know, those moments stand out and coaches remember when players delivered on big occasions and they'll go back to them. We saw it with Joe Schmidt, with Leinster players for years and other coaches. You know, Gats maybe have gone to Welsh players in the past too, on Lions tours, because he knows they're tried and tested and they've delivered for him. They won Grand Slams, they won Six Nations titles. The back row is a really, really tough one. The two flankers, I'm going to go with a size aspect on the number six jersey, and it makes another decision a little bit easier, where I'm going to go with Itoje playing at six. I think that size matters is going to be huge, particularly against South Africa, who we've just seen absolutely decimating every team physically. And you know, look at Peter Steph Dutoy playing in the six jersey or the seven jersey, but playing at six. I think that you've got to try and match him, and it tells you someone that's capable of doing that. So at seven, I don't know, who do you pick? Tipperick? Do you pick Underhill? Do you pick Hamish Watson maybe on another day? I don't think there's a huge amount between the three of them. So probably Underhill. I don't know, Underhill or Tipperick, I think probably just ahead of Watson, but I'd be happy with any of the three of them. Ryan and Alwyn Jones, I questioned whether he was going to still be capable of delivering in a year's time, but I just know the warrior that's in him, the fitness animal that he is, the appetite he has for work. So I fancy he'll still be able to piece himself together, you know, for one last hurrah. And then my front row, I don't know much about Rory Sutherland. I've heard great things about him. I think Genge will push him hard because he'll be the England's loose head over the course of the next year. And he brings that mongrel and grizzle that you need against South Africa as well. So I think he'll be right in the mix. George at hooker. And then I'm going to go with Furlong ahead of Sinclair just because you got to get a couple of paddies in there. And I think he's a better player overall than Sinclair, but not much between them.
Okay. Strong team, compares well with previous years.
Yeah, listen, when are you never going to have a strong Lions team? I think the weakest team, you know, by stating the obvious, you look back to was the 05 team. On the four tours that I was involved in, the weakest team was 05, but that was also through injuries. It's also through a timing of some key individuals retiring from international rugby just before that, after the 03 World Cup. So it felt like European rugby and Six Nations rugby probably wasn't at its pomp. But yet we came up against a far superior team. So I think the team, the best Lions team that I played in, I think it's a toss up between 01 and 09. And I think this team matches, you know, any of them. You know, you look at that caliber, what you want is X factor and guys capable of winning games on their own. And you start at 15 and to 14 straight away, Hogg and Watson. Like, I can't wait to watch those guys every time they play, particularly Watson. I think he is spectacular and he'd be a nightmare to defend against. So, you know, having him in your team and giving him good go forward and explosiveness, you just hope that he remains fit for the course of the year. But I think he'd be a shoe in, and I know the Gatlands is a massive fan of his as well. So, yeah, this team has the capability of taking on those Springboks, no doubt.
And I presume an all-Irish bench then, yeah?
Yeah, we ought to load the bench to get those six numbers up, you know, if I'm only looking at Furlong and Ryan as starters.
I guess a lot can change in a year. I mean, look, if we were talking at 2018, it'd be stacked again in a 2009-esque way. But, I mean,
who's going to be sub-scrum half? You know, Conor Murray again has delivered, so Gatland will remember that. You know, he was excellent on the tour in 4 years previously. You know what you're getting with him, even though he probably hasn't hit those heights in the last couple of years, but he has the scope to get back there again for sure.
Yeah.
And then you're going to need big ball carriers. You know, Stander was on the bench against New Zealand, even though it looked as though they worked him out a bit. Maybe he'd love a bite at the Springboks. Would he get into the reckoning? You have to think about physicality against the Springboks. You've got to think your way around them, but you're going to have to match them and take them on in some regard. And that's why I like a chunky back row. That's why maybe it won't work for someone like Watson, where you have a player like Tipperick who can kind of marry up the fast play with a little bit of hardship in there as well, and you know, good quality tackling, but a link between forwards and backs. But you've got the brute force of a Toji, Ryan, Watson, Furlong, Genge. I like that pack.
Okay.
I think, you know, they'd ask some serious questions of any team.
Well, pretty much a year to the day, we'll find out what the team is. I can
assure you it won't be that team.
Sure.
Or course. Anything close to it, you know, for a variety of reasons. But that's the exciting thing. You know, there'll be 10 more iterations of this over the course of the next 12 months and it'll still be wrong. But it's fun doing it. And if you're picking a side now, well, that's the team that I go for.
Okay. Our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, hashtag team of us, everyone in. Brian O'Driscoll, thanks a mil. Cheers.
Pleasure, Joe. Thanks.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.